Our scripture is Psalm 27. One of the young people asking that the sermon be based on verses 1 and 11. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, and the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacles sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When Thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me, put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Our text, as I said, verse 1 and 11. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And verse 11, teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. May God bless the reading and the preaching again of His Word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, Psalm 27 is a psalm of David. And it's evident from the psalm that David was facing great danger from his enemies. Four different verses talk about those enemies. Verse 2, verse 3, verse 11, verse 12. David knew those enemies all of his life. King Saul coming against him. Later on, the Philistines, other nations, and later in his life, his own son, Absalom, and the many who in Israel who followed Absalom in rebellion against David and David's reign as king. It's in the darkness of that danger, surrounded by enemies, David is able to sing a song in the night. There are those who laugh at Christians. They say, yes, Christians need a crutch in the trials, troubles of life. Let them call it what they may. But yes, we as believers, we have a wonderful refuge. We have a strong tower. We have one who is our salvation and our strength. And apart from that, our life would indeed be hopeless. And so David sings in the middle of the night, the darkness, Jehovah! Jehovah is my light and my salvation. He is the strength of my life. David had many enemies, and we as God's children, as we follow Christ Jesus, can expect many enemies in our lives. Janelle and Ryan, having confessed your faith, don't think it's going to go easier for you. It'll get tougher. For those who name the name of Christ, the devil will go after them all the more to try to sway them away, to conquer, to defeat the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can expect these enemies to seek our downfall. But we're confident. We are confident. Jehovah is our light and our salvation. He is the strength of my life. That is our bold, beautiful confession. As we make our way through this life, this verse could very well be a New Year's sermon, couldn't it? We don't know what enemies, what struggles, what trials, what difficulties the future holds. But we know Him who is our God. Confidence. Jehovah is our light and our salvation. A bold, beautiful confession. Notice with me the terrible darkness. Notice, second of all, then, our light. And then, thirdly, our confidence. Darkness is implied in our text, isn't it? Boys and girls, you don't need a flashlight except at night when it's dark and you can't see otherwise. That's when we turn the lights on in the house, when it's dark out. David, when he's confessing that Jehovah is his light, is suggesting that there is darkness in his life. Darkness in the Bible is often a figure of distress or of danger and of sin. And over against that darkness, then, light is a figure of deliverance, of relief from distress, of hope, of salvation. Isn't that the way Job puts it? Job 30, when I looked for good, then evil came unto me, and when I waited for light, there came darkness. Or again, the Apostle Peter says, we who are God's peculiar people, He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So the darkness of enemies, the darkness of sin, versus the light of salvation and hope and strength. We notice in this psalm the darkness that David faced. Physical enemies, absolutely. Whether it was earlier on, as we said, King Saul seeking to kill him. The Philistines who would seek to kill him. But I think especially Absalom, the son of his own household. He, with a multitude of Israel going out to seek to kill and to destroy King David. And while they are physical enemies, we need to notice that there's more behind it. There are spiritual forces in play, aren't there? The psalmist identifies these enemies as the wicked. Those enemies are the wicked. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me. Verse 2. Spiritual enemies. They hate, they oppose David as God's anointed over his people. They want to remove him. And especially when we think of it as being Absalom and many of Israel that were following Absalom, we see there that the church here on earth is often dominated by a carnal and a reprobate element. We often talk about the world out there that's opposed to the church, but it's the false church, the nominal church, that hates also the true church and does its best to silence it. And the intent of these enemies is to kill David. And they want to kill David. They want to remove David to set up their own king again. Oh, Israel, don't you ever learn. Once before, they wanted a king so that they could be like the nations. And God gave them over against Saul, a spiritual king, a man after God's own heart. And now Israel, along with son Absalom, want to remove him. They not only want to remove him, but now they want to put a man of their own choosing, an Absalom, a man of great stature, a man who didn't have, justice wasn't important to him. He was trying to please the people. They would destroy God's covenant with his people. For God's covenant with his people was with David, and in David's line with Christ. But they would try to break that covenant, destroy the anointed one of the Lord, the one who would lead his covenant people in worship of God, defeating God's enemies around and establishing a kingdom of peace and prosperity, the type of David and of Solomon who would follow him. Spiritual powers. For behind Absalom and behind this multitude of carnal Israelites, there is Satan. Satan, who is always trying to prevent the Lord's anointed one from ruling over his people and delivering his people and giving them salvation. It was dark times when David is fleeing from his son Absalom. The forces of wickedness are so great, and the little remnant that is with David is so small and so weak. The forces opposed are superior in strength and resources. Isn't that always the picture of the true church in this world? Small, a booth in a cucumber field. Over against the forces of evil, Satan. Satan seeking to prevent the Christ to come and to rule over his people, to bring salvation. And in the New Testament, still Satan. Unable to stop the woman from giving birth to the man-child that was hoped for, was waited for, now goes after the church as a woman in the wilderness. Darkness. The intent to destroy David and really to destroy God's covenant with his people. But perhaps in that darkness of those enemies that were against him, probably the darkness that most terribly David felt was the sin, his own sin, that contributed and led to this rebellion. David is not able to say, Lord, this isn't fair. Look at what they're doing against me. When his son Absalom arises and goes after his father to remove him, it is David's sin with his multiple marriages and his sin with Bathsheba that brought all this misery in his household, isn't it? Darkness. All kinds of enemies, but how dark is our own heart and our own sin and guilt. And that darkness that is implied in verse 1 is a darkness also that is ours, isn't it? We experience these kind of enemies that David talks about, don't we? As I said, we should expect it in our lives. Jesus said, expect it. For the servant is not greater than the master. As they hated Jesus Christ, they will hate those who follow and confess Jesus Christ. Peter tells us about those enemies. How Peter knew from his own life when he was standing in his own strength and he says to the Lord Jesus, though all other depart from you, I will never leave you. Oh, how he was standing in his own strength. How he knew by experience how weak he was. So that later on he writes, watch out, beware of the devil who goes about like a roaring lion seeking to devour. Yes, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Be aware of Satan's power and his ungodly attempt to sway you, to tempt you, to lead you astray, to destroy you. Satan who hates God, Satan who hates God's anointed one, Christ Jesus, he hates us. He seeks to destroy us, destroy our faith, rob us of our salvation, bring us back under his control. The devil, this world that we live in, this world, O young people, is not a friend to grace, but it's an ally, it's a tool in Satan's hand. This world, which will come like the Midianites and the Moabites, saying, come dance with us, come live with us, there's room for both of us in the land. And if they cannot tempt us to join them with the pleasures of sin, then that world turns in its hatred. If you don't sing their tunes, if you don't jump to their agenda, look at the agenda today. Accept all people from all different kind of marital statuses. Don't talk about the sin of homosexuality or the sin of divorce remarriage. This world hates the true church that says that's sin. And seeks to erase them, remove them, bar them from preaching the gospel. The devil, the world around us. And usually we mention three great enemies, but I'm going to add a fourth one. The false church. The false church that might sing the same songs that we do, might use many of the same phrases, but give a new meaning to it. They'll preach Jesus as a Savior, meaning He's a liberator from social status, so that women ought to be liberated and be members or elders in the church or pastors. They'll use Jesus as a Savior as for a social gospel. The false church that doesn't want to talk about sin and repentance and faith and obedience. The false church that will say, don't be so narrow-minded. Come join ecumenically with us. Put aside your doctrines, for doctrines divide, says that church. Have a simple faith without content. And how tempting is that enemy? Especially as we undergo struggles in our life. Perhaps when we're walking in sin and the elders come to reprimand us and we say, I don't have to be underneath that rule. I'm going to go somewhere else. Or when there's trouble in our marriages and we really don't like that person that we promised, we vowed to remain with to the end of our life on earth. How easy it is then to go to some other church that says, oh, you're all welcome here. Divorced, remarried, there's room. What an enemy is that false church to our sinful flesh. Yes, there's the greatest enemy, if I have to call one a greatest enemy, our sinful flesh. Satan would not have the control. The world would not come with its pleasures. The false church would not tempt us except for that sinful flesh that panders after an easy life or the things of this world or the sinful desires of my old nature. What a darkness. What a darkness there is not only around us, but what a darkness there is in this heart. And at times, we might almost be overwhelmed with the temptations that arise from within and without and the sin. At times, we might be overwhelmed with sickness or trials or losses in our lives that cause us to despair. To say with the wife of Job, curse God and die. So that we, as David at times would say, has God forgotten and have no hope? That's the darkness that is implied in verse 1. So that in the midst of that darkness, David makes a bold, beautiful confession. Jehovah is my light and my salvation, the strength of my life. Yes, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell on the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shed. Jehovah. Our King James Bible has the word Lord in capitals, letters, meaning it's a word that's substituted. But it's the covenant name of God that is given there. And that covenant name of God emphasizes that He is the faithful God. We said that already this morning, didn't we? He's the faithful God. He's the God who has established a binding, a lasting relationship with His people in Christ Jesus. How wonderful to know that this Jehovah is our God. That is to know Him not only theologically with a head knowledge, but to know Him experientially by faith. Jehovah is my God. To know that Jehovah is always dwelling in the midst of His people, His church. It's Jehovah that gives us young children, as we saw this morning. It's Jehovah that causes young people to grow up in their faith, in their knowledge of Christ Jesus, and to confess Him. It's Jehovah that dwells in his midst of his people as a source, a fountain overflowing with his blessings of salvation. And it's that covenant fellowship, it's that covenant itself that the powers of darkness seek to destroy as they attack God's people. Powers of darkness come like the Amalekites did against the Israelites, picking especially upon the remnants of that crowd as they were going through the wilderness, the weak or the sick or the tired or the aged or the young. David makes the bold, beautiful confession, Jehovah, this covenant God who has made us his people, he is my light. And that light is then defined for us in a parallelism in this verse. That light is my salvation, and that light is my strength. That light is, first of all, my salvation. It is my deliverance. David is making the confession there that his hope, his confidence, does not lie in the army that is following him. His confidence is not in his own wisdom. It was not in his own wealth. His confidence was not in his own counselors. How some of those counselors disappointed him and even deserted him for the enemy. His confidence was not in making alliances with others when he was a king. But it is Jehovah. Jehovah is my salvation because he is my strength. He recognized that it was God who all along was giving him the strength. As a young boy, to defend his sheep in the pasture from the lion and the bear. It was the Lord who gave him the strength to go up against a Goliath. It was the Lord who gave him the strength to go up against the Philistines. And it was the Lord also who would strengthen him now in this perilous time when his son Absalom is coming to kill him. Jehovah, as salvation and strength, keeps David as the anointed one of his people. So that David was able to rule and to govern his people, leading them in the fear of the Lord, continuing the line in the generations so that Solomon, not an Absalom, not an Adonijah, but a Solomon would follow him. And the greater than Solomon, Christ Jesus. Oh, how God loved his people Israel, the Old Testament church. In those dark times, he preserved them by preserving their anointed one, King David. And David sings of that in this confession. But let us join David in his song. Jehovah is our light because he is our salvation and he is our strength in Christ Jesus, God's anointed one. Jehovah is our light. How the Apostle John picks it up in his gospel. John 1 verse 5. Light shined in the darkness. As we study Psalm 27, yes, we see the Lord preserving David, but David, as the Lord's anointed, is but a type of the great Lord's anointed, our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Even as God appointed David as the ruler over his people in the Old Testament, he was pointing forth in a shadowy way to the Lord Jesus, who is appointed by God to be our Savior and our strength. The Lord Jesus, like David, was subjected to great darkness, wasn't he? Darkness all of his life. The wrath of God resting upon him, Satan always seeking to destroy him, whether it be by a Herod or later on by the hand of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the nation of Israel. What darkness hung upon him as he stands in our place, especially upon the cross. Oh, his enemies in their hatred put him there, trying to cut him off. And yet he's put there by God for our salvation. And God came to his anointed one as he did David the type, strengthening him, didn't he? Boys and girls, do you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights and he hungered and the devil came and tempted him? And the Lord Jesus resisted those temptations, and we read there that angels came and ministered unto him. They strengthened him as he stood in our human nature. And again, when he fought in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he faced the cross, knowing the wrath of God that would be poured out upon him, we read there that an angel ministered to him in between his prayers to his Father. Oh, how the Lord Jesus, as the Anointed One, was strengthened by God when a voice comes from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And how he was strengthened on that Mount of Transfiguration as he's facing the cross. The Lord shows him the glory that is going to come, and he's strengthened with the testimony of a Moses and Elijah. The law and the prophets of the Old Testament all pointing to his glorious work through the way of suffering. So when we sing these songs, "Jehovah is my light and my salvation," we're singing about Jesus Christ, aren't we? David as a type is only a picture of the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One over his covenant people. And that covenant of God will not be broken. Jehovah who established it is Jehovah who maintains it. It is Jehovah who perfects it. And it's all through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our salvation and is our strength, strengthening us then against our enemies, the attacks of the devil. We can't defend ourselves. We would be overcome. But Christ strengthening us, we're able to say, "I can do all things through Christ," huh? Who strengthens us. Yes, oh young people, temptations can be so strong. The hormones in our bodies are raging. But we're not left to ourselves. Lift up your eyes. Jehovah's salvation. Jesus Christ is our strength, and we are able to overcome those temptations. And when we grow weak and tired through trials and sorrows, or loneliness when others forsake us, we're not alone. Jehovah, Jesus Christ, is our light, our salvation, and our strength. And what's the result? We make a bold, beautiful confession. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. And the psalmist says, "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Child of God, we are set free from fear. set free from fear. The fear of defeat or the fear of destruction. Our enemies are strong and are great in number. Our sinful nature is so strong at times. But David asks these rhetorical questions. He does some soul talk here, doesn't he? Let's do that soul talk. Let's ask those questions. When Jehovah is my strength and my song, when Jehovah is my light and salvation, what will I fear? It is a confidence that is solely in God. It is in God's powerful right arm that hath gotten him the victory. Nothing else. Yes, in the darkness, David turns to the Lord. I will not fear. Look to him. Janelle Ryan, look to him daily. Not in your own strength, not in my strength, not in the friends around you. They will all disappoint you once or another. If we look anywhere else, we can expect defeat. When Peter took his eyes off the Lord Jesus, when he was walking, he sank. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus. Jehovah is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? There's our hope. Confidence, beautiful confidence in God alone. And with that kind of a confidence, of necessity, we turn to Him with a humble request, don't we? That is, our bold confession is followed with a humble request, verse 11, and that's why we tied these two verses together. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Lord, they're too great in number. I'm too weak of myself. Lord, thou art my hope, my salvation, my light. Teach me thy way. Peter had to be taught, didn't he? By way of experience. He thought he was so strong, he was boastful before the Lord. Though all others shall forsake you, I'll never do it. I'm strong enough. Oh, child of God, at times we're tempted to think like that. This person might have marital problems. This person might do this in their life. This person fell into this sin. Know, oh child of God, know your own weakness. So that when these things happen, you don't look down the nose, but you say, but by the grace of God. But by the grace of God. Teach me thy way. A good part of David's troubles was he wasn't always listening to the Lord. He wasn't always fighting the battles of the Lord. Instead, he was sitting on his rooftop, looking and lusting and sinning. Teach me, O Lord, thy way. That's the song that we sang after your confession of faith this evening. Thy word as a lamp unto my feet. How we need Christ, who is our light, to shed light on our pilgrimage, on our footsteps, so that we don't walk in sin. And when we do fall off the narrow way, that is, we start wandering in sins or temptations, that He brings us back. And He brings us back again and again and again to Himself. That's a marvelous gospel, isn't it? Yes, we all sin many times. We are wayward. But Jesus seeks the wandering sheep and brings them back to Himself and His love and His care. Teach me, O Lord, Thy way. Lead me in a plain path. I believe there is really a request for God by His Spirit, Christ in His Spirit, to guide us in this confession. Lead me in a plain path. You made a beautiful confession, young people, with words tonight. And that has to be backed up with a life lived out of it. Just like in life, it's easy to say to someone, I love you. It's another matter that we show that love in our deeds. To confess the Lord Jesus not only with our words, but now as students, as workers, as married folks, as young, as old, O Father, lead me in a plain path. Guide me by Thy Spirit so that this bold, beautiful confession is a living one. Sing it. Sing it, O child of God, in the darkness of your sin and the darkness of enemies increasing around us. The world is going to become increasingly dark. We see the signs already. Jehovah, hope, confidence, Jehovah, is my light and my salvation, the strength of my life. I shall not be afraid. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that the Spirit of Christ Jesus will strengthen us to fight every battle, the battle of faith. Strengthen and lead us, young and old, in our pilgrimage through this life. Help us to face the dark hours of danger without any fear. We're not alone. We're thankful for the bold, beautiful confession of David, the better than David, Christ Jesus, and us in Christ Jesus. Jehovah is my light. I will not fear. Lord, bless that confession each day of our life, till Thou, O Lord, dost take us home to glory. Amen. Psalter number 35. For who is God and strong to save besides the Lord? Our God of might, 'tis He that makes me strong and brave, the Lord who guides my steps aright. Let's sing stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5 of number 35, versification of Psalm 18.
Thank you. Now unto him
that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.